With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to talk about a lighter subject this hour, but even more, very important to me. Big, huge Saints fan. They start tonight. Jacksonville Jaguars. Joining me in the studio is Christian Garrick. And if you guys are looking to have a laugh, you might want to take a look at Christian's legs in the dunk tank. And I got to tell you, Drew Brees, really good. Bobby Hebert, not so good.
Not so much. He's still his ego's still bruised over going 0-for-5 in the dunk tank. No, that was a lot of fun. If you want to see it, it's on our Facebook page, our WWL Radio Facebook page. The other day, I was a part of the QB challenge. They asked for a volunteer. I quickly said I'll do it, and it was a lot of fun getting to interact with those guys and seeing just how accurate, in particular, Drew Brees is. He threw one ball when it wasn't his turn. And I saw him pick up the ball and throw it, and I was like, I might as well just go in because he's going to hit it.
And he did.
Yeah.
It was really a lot of fun watching y'all razz each other in that thing. You know. So anyway, Christian, let's start. You spent a lot of time as the sideline reporter in 10 playoff games, one Super Bowl, 9 years on the sideline. It's a different view. It's a different perspective. Been there myself.
Yeah.
I always worried about not getting hurt first because when they come running down the sideline, it's like, okay, where am I going? I had an escape plan every time I sat.
You're always looking behind you going, all right, if something comes my way, which way am I going? And yeah, look, you got to have your head on a swivel down there. I told Steve Geller, I talked to him earlier today, obviously his first game.
And he's our new guy on the sideline.
Yeah, he's our new sideline reporter. I'm super excited for him and his opportunity. But I was talking to him today. I was like, look, you got to have your head on a swivel down there because one thing you gain an appreciation for, and you can attest to this, Newell, is how fast and how powerful these guys are. You don't get the same appreciation watching it from the stands or the press box, but just how quick these guys move, how powerful they are. It happens really fast right in front of you, and you can get – tangled up in that fracas pretty quickly if you're not paying attention.
You know what I realized right away was that my 195 didn't look like any 195 that was out there on the field.
Yeah.
Go figure that, right?
Yeah, exactly. A little bit more compact and a little bit more density in terms of, you know, structure, muscle mass, et cetera. So, yeah, your 195.
Yeah, a little more everything, baby.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. You said it, not me.
So, also new opportunities for a lot of folks. You and Bobby will do pregame, postgame.
Pre and postgame. Really excited about that. Just another opportunity. I think, you know, obviously to work with Bobby Hebert. I grew up watching him. He was my boyhood idol, and working with him on Sports Talk every day, and then also now pre and postgame. And really excited about the opportunity to talk to Saints fans before and after. I'll be the first person to talk to them before and after games, and I'm really pumped about that opportunity. You watch the game, I think, from the sideline opposed to up in a booth or, you know, on TV in a totally different way. I haven't watched a Saints game on TV in 9 years. So yeah. It'll be different for me in a lot of ways.
And it's an incredibly different view.
It is.
From the sideline. And a lot of folks don't realize the hump in the middle of the field, mostly the crown. Thank you.
Yeah.
On the turf fields, on the grass turf fields, you know, that they have, is you only see from the knees up.
Yeah.
If they're on the opposite sideline.
There's a lot of things you're paying attention to as a sideline reporter that you're probably not. Some of it you're not going to even use. You're just paying attention to it because it's right in front of you. And to where if you're watching it on TV, I'm seeing the things that you're not going to see on TV. Invited, and it's the opposite now. But really, I'm really stoked for Zach Strief.
Yeah.
You know, his first opportunity as the new voice of the Saints tonight, he'll debut, and I have an unbelievable amount of confidence in how good he's going to be tonight. And I know he's a little nervous. I talked to him earlier today, but he's been preparing for this moment for a long time, and you know, I'm excited to hear what he's going to say tonight, and I'm sure he's going to do a great job. And, of course, he's working with Deuce, so it doesn't get any better. You know?
No, absolutely. And I'm just looking forward to I mean, you talk two guys that are very learned about, obviously, have spent their entire life playing football. And, you know, they know it from a perspective that most others don't know it from. And his near experience, meaning he's just walked off the team, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so he actually knows most, if not all, of these players very well.
And these coaches.
And the coaches.
And he could tell you, look, you're going to hear things tonight and throughout the season that you probably never heard about the Saints just because of the insight that both of those two guys, you're talking about 20 years of NFL playing experience in one booth.
Right.
So you're going to hear some things that you probably could never hear, will never hear, from a Saints radio broadcast ever, and I think that's what's really attractive about it. I think Zach's going to do a great job doing play-by-play, but the magic between he and Deuce during in-between plays is going to be something that it'll be totally unique to Saints radio.
Not unlike any other preseason, we're going to see a lot of young players. We'll see a lot of players first time ever in an NFL stadium.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, great venue.
Mm-hmm.
What are we looking for? We want to see some standouts under the lights tonight, right?
Yeah, look, a lot of people, and I was somewhat guilty of this at times. You know, the preseason is like, all right, come on, let's hurry up and get to the regular season. You know, it is a sign that football is here, but then you go, all right, you know, football is not the game is not as crisp because the starters are not playing. But there's some things to watch for tonight, and in particular, I think a guy that stood out a lot in training camp. It's a tight end, Dan Arnold, his second season. Last year he was a wide receiver, so he's converting over to tight end, and he's made a ton of plays in training camp. And I want to see – this is something I've been thinking about a lot. The Saints defense has forced a lot of turnovers in training camp practices. Typically, you want to see that translate into a preseason game or two or three. And then that tends to follow you into the regular season. I remember in 2009, my first year covering the Saints – and I noticed a theme in training camp practices that year. They were forcing a lot of turnovers. The first possession against the Bengals that year in the first game of the preseason, they forced a fumble. And I think those good habits like that, if you demonstrate your ability in the preseason to force those, it has a way of trickling into the regular season and following you into the regular season. So I want to see some of that tonight and see if they have that propensity that they've shown in training camp. To force turnovers, can they get the ball out, whether it's fumbles or interceptions? And Dan Arnold, I mentioned him, the punt return duties as well.
Let's go back to Dan Arnold for one second.
Yeah.
I mean, we've always had very productive offensive seasons. But, you know, there's a difference between productive and explosive. And our most explosive offensive seasons has been when we can exploit the play of the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Is Dan Arnold one of those guys that can bring us there? No.
Potentially, but he's not going to be used in a running game. So he's going to be limited. And I think there's a degree that teams will know, all right, we're probably not going to have to guard against the run here because Dan Arnold's on the field. However, Sean Payton loves the matchups. He's masterful at putting his strengths against your weakness and carving out those matchups that are mismatches in favor of his offense. But I agree with you that if you go back and look in 2011 when they were setting records left and right, passing records, yardage records, touchdowns, et cetera, scoring, I think that the weapons on this offense could rival that of the 2011 offense. They've got a ton of weapons, going back to Mike Thomas, obviously,
yeah.
Ted Ginn Jr., Tre'Quan Smith, Cameron Meredith, Alvin Kamara. You don't have Mark Ingram for four games, but, man, I look at this offense, and their offensive line is stout. If they can stay healthy there, they could put up some eye-popping numbers this year.
We're going to get to a break. We want to hear from you, 260-1870, Texas 870-870. We've got the expertise of Christian Garrick in the house. He'll be doing pregame and postgame in his new position. He's off the sidelines, and he's actually dressed up now. So here we go. We'll be right back. This is Newell and Christian. We're back with Christian Garrick. He'll be hosting the pregame and the postgame show. He's off the sidelines. He's dressed up. He's ready to go
tonight. Hey, I'm always dressed up. Not as sharp as you dressed all the time. You are the sharpest dressed man in all of radio.
I got to get you over there to Iron Horse, baby. Let's go to line one, Justin and Gentile. What say you, Justin?
Hey, Newell. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, Christian. How you doing?
I'm good, Justin. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good, but I'm going to tell you, the Saints football season has already started off weird. Because Mr. Benson is now in heaven. Jim Henderson is gone, and we got Zach Streif coming in. You've moved over to with Bobby Hebert. Now Steve Deller is on the sideline. I can't keep up with the change, and the change is painful, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to the season.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think everybody's excited for it, you know, and look, change comes with time. It just happens. Over time, things are going to change, and that's part of it's exciting, though, to be a part of a new era, if you will, in Saints radio.
Change creates opportunity.
I've always been a big fan of yours, Christian.
Thank
you. On the sideline for years, and congratulations for your promotion, going with Bobby, and good luck with him because he's a great person to listen to. But it's so different this year, and it has to be given an edge. I think the Saints are really going to do well this year. I really have a good feeling about it.
Yeah, you should.
I've heard from a lot of folks, and Justin, thank you, and it's a great point because I've heard from a lot of folks that there seems to be kind of a revitalized energy, and they've been seeing. I've heard from some folks say out at summer camp, it's kind of been a bigger bounce in the step. Maybe.
Well, I think some of that has to do with just the fact that they're excited about their team. They know they have an opportunity to be a really good team, and they have talent. For the previous 3 years prior to last year, you know, you had guys, undrafted players, 3 and 4 along the defensive line alone making the team because they didn't have a lot of depth. You're not going to see that this year. You're going to see when they pare this roster down in the beginning of September, you're going to see guys that for the last year or two, you said, wait a minute, he caught touchdown passes. Wait a minute, he made a lot of plays for us. And then they're not on the roster because the amount of talent that they currently have. Guys like Tommy Lee Lewis. You already saw it this past weekend. Brandon Coleman released. You know, he'd been with the team for 4 years and been a big part of some of their big moments in games, in particular last year in the running game. So they just got a lot of depth, Newell, and that's usually a sign of a good team because you're going to what happened last year? You saw the offensive line get riddled with injuries. The reason why they were able to have success is because they have depth. The teams that weather the injury bug, the Philadelphia Eagles, they lost a ton of guys as well, but they were deep. That's a positive. What I do like about this training camp, that again, I always try to, I know it might not always be fair, but I always try to go on what I've seen in the past experiences. And when I've seen the Saints in training camp, when they've had highly competitive practices on balance, but whether the offense wins or the defense wins, that's usually a good sign that you're going to have a really good football team. And I think that holds true this year with the 12 practices that we've witnessed. It's been competitive, uber competitive, and I think that's healthy.
I want to talk about the backfield, but before I do so, I want to talk about the front line.
Sure.
Because everything starts at the front line.
Sure.
Right?
And, yeah.
And so what is it looking like, and what's it shaping up to be?
Well, last year, even with guys that were injured, they only had the same starting combination, I think, in 5 games last year.
It was unbelievable.
Look what they were able to do, even without those guys and with the injuries, rushing the football, protecting Drew Brees. If they stay healthy, this is one of the best offensive line, if not the best offensive line in football. Teron Armstead, a left tackle, he's been bit by the injury bug in the past. He looks as good as he's ever looked. He's healthy now. I talked to him the other day. He feels really good about where he's at physically. And then Andres Pete at left guard, still working his way back from an injury of last year. And they're slowly introducing him. I think you're going to see more and more from him after this first preseason game. You're getting back and doing team stuff. He's doing a lot of individual work in practice right now. Max Unger is Max Unger.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's just an all-out stud gamer. You know, he's in there for every game. And right guard Larry Wolford, I think, is one of the more underrated players in the National Football League in terms of offensive linemen. The guys that he can absolute maul at the point of attack is impressive. He's a huge man. He's really good in pass pro as well. And then at right tackle, Ryan Ramczyk in his second season. And what he did a year ago, he's only going to build on that. And I know Zach Streif, I was talking to him because that's the position he played.
Right.
And I think Ryan Ramczyk could be an all-pro at right tackle in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's going to be the key. And then, you know, let's talk about the backfield. Obviously, Ingram's out 4 games.
Yeah.
That's a blow for sure. Who steps up?
Yeah, well, they're going to miss Mark Ingram. Make no mistake about it. You don't take a playmaker out of this offense like that and say, oh, you're going to be just fine. Now, fortunately, they have number 9. They got Alvin Kamara. They've got the receivers and the weapons out there. So they're going. It's going to make it a little bit more palatable. But, you know, Jonathan Williams is a player I think that stood out, and I think that he's right now the early front runner to get some of those touches that would go to Mark Ingram if they were playing a regular season game. That's a player to keep an eye on tonight. Also, Terrence West, Shane Vereen, and also Boston Scott. I think you're going to see a lot of those guys tonight get some opportunities. And the thing about Mark Ingram that makes him so good is not just running between the tackles. He's a weapon out of the backfield in the passing game, but he knows what he's doing in pass protection and blitz pickup. It's an important job to protect number nine, and sometimes some running backs can't always grasp that, or they can't physically do it. And Mark Ingram is an all-around running back, so he'll certainly be missed. But I'm interested to see how those guys shake out. I don't know right now that there's a definitive answer out in front of everybody going, hey, this is the guy that's going to be the guy that spells Mark Ingram for those four games. But I think, you know, the early candidate would be Jonathan Williams.
They have a couple of new receivers in camp, too, that look very promising from what I'm told.
Yeah, Cameron Meredith came over from the Chicago Bears this offseason and coming off an ACL injury. So they've been kind of on a pitch count, if you will, with him.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily as many reps. He's had his moments in camp where he's looked really good. Haven't seen anything eye-popping with him. But Tre'Quan Smith is an intriguing player. Third-round draft pick. Sean Payton, when it comes to picking receivers, he knows what he's doing. All right, and if you go back and look, the reason why I said in 2011 I think this offense has the potential to rival that of 2011 is what's the common denominator they had then? A Robert Meacham and a Devery Henderson, they could lift the top off the defense but also really help you in the running game. So defenses can't sell out. They have to honor the running game, and oh, by the way, then they can get behind them on double moves and post patterns, et cetera. So Tre'Quan Smith can do that. He high points the ball really well. He goes up and gets it. He's aggressive in the running game, and he can flat out motor.
Who's the guy that we look for going over the middle?
You talking about from tight end? Ben Watson, guys like that, tight end. I think Josh Hill's going to become a better receiving tight end because he's not going to have to worry about the blocking as much.
Yeah, and that's always been a key too. I mean, opening up the sidelines, right? Getting the ball over the middle.
It's a vertical game.
Working it across. It's something that Drew Brees has always been able to exploit. But many times, many seasons really didn't have the assets to do so.
But he still did fine. But it is a seam game. If you can get a tight end down the seam in today's NFL, that's money.
All righty. We'll be right back with Christian Garrick. We want to hear from you, 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. So it's Newell and Christian on WWL. On the Blue Runner Opinion Poll, you're excited to see the Saints on the field tonight. 89% of the folks say yes. I don't know what's wrong with the other 11%,
right?
Christian. What's going on there?
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder where they're living these days. I got to tell you, Newell, so I hear in the news, teasing the game, obviously, Zach Schrieff and Deuce McAllister, and I hear sideline reporter for so long, you know, all right, my name's following that, and then you hear Steve Geller, so it's a little – it kind of took me back a little bit. It's kind of neat. Anyway.
A little weird moment. Let's go to line one, talk to Andrew. What say you, Andrew?
So I feel pretty confident about, something to happen to our defense as far as injuries. I feel like we got some depth there to cover those injuries. But I guess my question is what about the offensive line if injuries were to occur? I'll hang up and listen.
Sure, yeah. Look, let me start with the defense. I'll get back to the offense in a minute. Where they're thinnest, and then look, they're still deep along the defensive line. This is what's going to be fascinating about the preseason. The D-line still needs one or two guys that you go, all right, I can count on that player if injuries should arise, because they're going to.
Right.
Now, they do have a lot of depth at linebacker, a ton of depth at linebacker, and a lot of depth in the secondary, so that's positive. And the thing I like the most about this defense, traditionally, when you have a good defense, you have a playmaker at every level of the defense. And the Saints have that. Cam Jordan along the line. Demario Davis, I think, the new addition from the Jets,
absolutely,
is going to be a playmaker at linebacker, not to mention a few others. And then in the secondary, Marcus Williams and Marshawn Lattimore, obviously. But Marcus Williams, I think, what I've seen this year, man, I wouldn't be surprised if he's an all-pro this year. I just wouldn't. Now, the offensive line, you've got the starters that we talked about earlier. But I think you added some quality depth this offseason. You lost Senio Calamete. But Jermon Bushrod coming over in the offseason, of course, fourth-round draft pick out of Townsend, originally with the Saints, and he could play left tackle, he could play left guard, he could play right guard, he could even play right tackle if you needed him to. Can't play center, but they've got enough quality depth along the offensive line that if they sustain an injury, that they can plug Jermon Bushrod in there, they can plug a couple other guys in there. Will Clapp from LSU, I think, is having a pretty good camp. I also think, though, that with the injury to John Fullington, who was getting a lot of snaps with the ones instead of Andres Pete while he was coming back from an injury, he got put on injured reserve, basically. So that's presented an opportunity for Will Clapp. I want to know who's going to be the backup center. Is it going to be Josh Laribas, or is it going to be a guy like Will Clapp? We'll find that out. But they've got depth there. I'm not as concerned about that position group in terms of injuries. I'm really not, Newell, I'm not concerned very much about the entire team when it comes to injuries. They're that deep. They've got a lot of quality depth. Look at the linebacking core. 2 years ago, this was a major, major eyesore for them. And now they, in the last two off seasons, they've added so much depth there that you're talking about guys potentially like Nate Stupar, might not, Craig Robertson. I heard somebody say that. I don't agree with that Craig Robertson's on this team. He's going to make this team. But you've got guys like Nate Stupar and others that might have a hard time making this team because of the depth that they have at linebacker.
You know, and that's the thing. I don't know who made the decisions last year about the O-line and the year before and all the movement that went. But whoever it was did a masterful job.
It was Dan Roschar.
I mean, it was, I mean, you know, it was just incredible. I mean, they didn't hurt themselves, right? I mean, they did it. They were able to maintain, and they were able to plow through it and get some people back. And they had actually lost somebody for the season.
Yeah, Senio Calamete was a good, is a really nice luxury piece to have. And look, they lost him. He deserved to get paid. I mean, there's not a lot of guys in the NFL that can play all five positions along the offensive line. I was happy for Senio Calamete to get the opportunity and get paid in free agency, but this offensive line is still very, very deep, and Jermon Bushrod is not quite Senio Calamete in terms of being able to play all five, but he can play four of the five positions, and there's not a lot of guys that can do that either.
Let's go to Chris on line one out of Mandeville. What say you, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, no, what's up, my man? It's Chris. What's up, guys?
How are you, Chris?
Hey, dude, all I got to say is who that, and I think, look, check it out. I think I want to see, I'm predicting, if it goes my way, I'm predicting a good clean game. I think Sean's going to turn the dogs loose, and I think we're going to come on top. I'd say maybe 28-14.
We predicted preseason scores here. Chris, I love you, man, and I love when you call. You're super fired up all the time.
Hey, dude, Chris,
but, man,
dude,
we're predicting the score of preseason games.
Right.
Letting the dogs out in a preseason game.
Yes, indeed, dude.
Dude, I get off in 20 minutes. Where are you? I want
to need some. Now, but Newell, if I'm telling the truth here, Chris has been known to start the adult beverages very early.
Early on game day. That's a good priority. Thanks, Chris, for calling in. You know, and I lost my train of thought for a second. Really, we want to come out with no injuries.
Yes.
And we want to have the ability to be able to get a chance to see them in situations that you just can't stage, right? I mean, and see how that works.
In particular, the younger guys that you don't know how they're going to react. You haven't seen them with your own eyes how they're going to react in a 2-minute drill or in a pivotal moment of the game where it might be a situational third and eight. What are you playing? How are you playing? 3rd and 15. Do you know your responsibility? Sean Payton talks about it all the time. He's not going to play guys that he can't trust to line up. If you don't know what you're doing, he can't play it. So if you want to look for that too, who's lining up correctly, who's not? That's usually a good indication that they're going to be buried on the depth chart or they're going to have a hard time making this team.
Yeah. So let's talk for a moment when we come back, got to get to a break, about special teams.
Yeah.
And that's something that's been a little suspect for us over the years, and we've struggled a little bit. And it's one of the few times you've seen Sean Payton's frustration on the sidelines, in a very overt way. So we'll be back with Christian Garrick. We're going to be talking about the special teams when we return. This is Newell and Christian on WWL. We're back, and we have Christian Garrick, co-host of Sports Talk, and he's also going to be doing pregame and post game with Bobby Hebert, trying to keep him under control. That's a full time job. But we look forward to hearing y'all nonetheless. And a couple of friends of yours who I guess their brother served with you in the military said they were disappointed in you. They yelled at you for 20 minutes at Saints training camp. Man. They have a division shirt that was made for you.
I want that shirt. I apologize if you're still listening. I apologize. I didn't hear you. There's a lot going on at training camp. So, email me, whoever that texter is, email me christian@wwl.com, Christian with a K at wwl.com. I really like to get connected with you and get those shirts. That's special.
For those of you listeners out of town, you can pick up the game on radio.com on a desktop, not on a mobile app. Mobile app is controlled by the NFL. We have no say-so there, so you have to get to a desktop, and you can pick it up on our desktop on Radio.com. Christian, we're talking about special teams. Mm-hmm. And this year, all kinds of crazy rules on kickoffs. So why don't you tell our listening audience about it?
Yeah, I think kickoffs are going to look drastically different this year. In an effort for the league to try to make the game safer, they've instituted a couple of rule changes. And I think it will make it safer, but it's also going to make the kickoff a lot more exciting. We saw a lot of touchbacks in the last couple of years because the ball was at the 30 and 35-yard line and guys were kicking it into the end zone. Didn't see a lot of returns. But this year, the kickoff team can't get that running start. Remember how that had those one or two guys that would literally start 10 yards behind the kickoff and get that running start and head down the field. You won't see that this year. And then as a return and the return game, you have to have 9 players lined up no further space than 15 yards apart. So the guy in the front 10 yards away from the ball is no further away. The guy behind him is no further away than 15 yards behind him. There's no more two-man wedges. Remember, it started out as a 5-man wedge, and then it went to 2. There's no more wedges. And then I think you're going to see the strategy of these kickoffs change. You're going to see a lot more mortar kicks, you know, pop-up kicks, trying to kick it to cavities within that return team. You're going to see the opportunity to return more kicks because you can't have that running start, so it's going to be a little bit more difficult for that coverage team to get down the field so quickly. So I'm excited about it. I want to see how it changes. Now, one rule that does have me a little concerned, it's not a kickoff rule, but it's the leading with the crown of the helmet. You saw it in the Hall of Fame game. There were 4 calls, 4 flags in that game, and I think they got 3 out of the 4 right by the definition of the rule. But I know it's a point of emphasis this year, and they're going to throw it a lot in the preseason. You'll probably see it tonight in the Saints-Jaguars 2 or 3 times, if not more, because they want to try to get that out of the game to where when they get in the regular season, you know, the players know they will call this, so they're a little bit more you know, cognizant of it. So I think in the regular season, though, you know, there's a chance that if you lead with a helmet, you could get ejected. You haven't seen that in the preseason. I think they're going to issue warnings in the preseason and perhaps in the regular season go, hey, look, you know, I was close to throwing you out of this game. But I think it's going to impact the game. 1 or 2 games this year will be impacted. A player probably will get ejected for leading with the crown of his helmet. So those are some rule changes to keep an eye on. And I'm anxious to see how the leading with the crown of the helmet impacts games. I think it will.
They're always tweaking. Any other tweaks?
There's a couple of them. Deuce would know better. He sat in the officials meeting, but those are the two that really stood out to me. I think there's a couple of tweaks the ground cannot cause an incompletion. So they redefine the catch rule again. They've been tweaking that for
forever.
3 or 4 years. I don't know what a catch is these days in the NFL. I really don't. It's so convoluted at times. And so, I don't know. I just got to shake my
head. Maybe all the receiver has to do is touch the ball at some point.
Yeah, it's strange. It's strange in so many ways. I don't know. I can't explain it. Even if I had the officials here, I would still be like, huh? What?
Yeah.
What? Explain that to me again. I do not have a full grasp of what a catch is in the NFL.
All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the quarterback position.
Sure.
I mean, I know we got the starter resolved, but there's a lot of competition behind him. And that's important as well.
Yeah.
When we return with Christian Garrick, co-host of Sports Talk and the pregame and postgame show with Bobby Hebert. We'll be right back after the break. This is Newell and Christian on WWL. We're back with Christian Garrick, co-host of Sports Talk and the pregame and postgame show with Bobby Hebert. And we wanted to just touch briefly on quarterback. Obviously,
yeah.
Drew Brees, he's not probably going to see any.
I'd be shocked if you saw him.
If he does, I'm turning the TV off.
Yeah, you should. And probably somebody should run and scream at
we
Sean.
We were talking about predictions. You know, the prediction is the plane lands safely, they play safely, and the plane comes back safely, no injuries.
Exactly.
And that would be a success, right?
That would be a success. But, yeah, I can make the argument that I don't think you need to play Drew Brees at all in the preseason. He's going to say, I need the reps. But whatever, I don't make those decisions, and I'm glad I don't. But behind him, you know, Tom Savage, Taysom Hill, JT Barrett. This is your first opportunity to see Taysom Hill in a Saints uniform. Remember, they got him last year after the preseason closed when he got cut by the Green Bay Packers. And Sean Payton is very high on this on that young man. And at practice at times, you can see where they're intrigued by him. He's very athletic. He can run a 4.440. He's big, but he's inaccurate in the pocket. Young quarterbacks have to know and learn this is about the pocket. The passing game and passing in the pocket and doing it successfully, being accurate, is what the NFL game is about. It'll forever be about the pocket passer. I know that these run pass options, these RPOs where these mobile quarterbacks are kind of the in vogue thing, but the thing that's tested by time and time and again that will never go away is the pocket passer. They will always have success in the National Football
League. More of the field, like you said, it's up the field, in the seams.
In the seams.
Best place to be is in the pocket.
Yeah. I mean, you can run. Now, it's good to extend plays. I'll give you an example. Yeah. Russell Wilson, right? Mm-hmm. Accurate. He can also extend plays. That's what makes him so deadly. Now, Taysom Hill can be him if he improves his accuracy.
So who do we think is – I'll ask you for this prediction. Who's going to get the most reps this evening?
At quarterback?
Yeah.
I think you could see Tom Savage start this game for a quarter, Taysom Hill for about a quarter and a half, and JT Barrett, the undrafted out of Ohio State, another quarter and a half. So I think that Saints want to see – you know what you have in Tom Savage. I think they want to see Taysom Hill and JT Barrett, a lot of them, and I think you're going to have that opportunity tonight.
That's what I think is the most exciting, is seeing – the quarterback play and the running back play of people that ordinarily wouldn't be there.
Totally agree.
Thank you so much, you Christian, for joining us. Really appreciate it. It's time again for that National Cash Contest. Ready for your chance to win $1,000 in the Intercom Cash Contest? The code word this hour is CRAB. Text CRAB to 72881. That's 72881. Text now and you could win $1,000 cash. Listen for the next code word. Scoot's going to have it at the top of the hour as well. Every hour, now through 6 p.m., $1,000 is up for grab. Good luck from all of us at WWL. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates do apply. Please don't text and drive. Thank everybody for their participation today. Scoot's up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.